Hello, another welcome from John Kulis from the Netherlands. You're listening live on Untold Midweek Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com. And today is 12 May, live, 2007. And the topic of today would be, or will be, I have to say, what kind of future do we want towards 2012? And is it necessary to brainstorm about it? I think so. I think we need to express things that we wish, what we want, what we really want. And we had a discussion in Pal Talk Room about the word what want means, and that is always, of course, subjective, and that you have to realize that what you need is different than what you want. You know, if you want something, that's not necessarily what you need. So, for instance, a beautiful example is if you're walking in the desert and you have no water, you're thirsty, the first step that you would say is that you want water because you're not in the survival mode yet, because you're just thirsty. But after 24 hours with no water, then you need water to survive. You see, there's a difference between wanting and that you need something. But nevertheless, is it important that people express their wishes and express their what they really want in their life, and examine how far it's programmed by expectations of society. You know, that there's something like an expectation that you have to fulfill from society, and how much of it is from you, and how much is it from your own deep core of your true self, from who are you, what do you really want in life? If everything what you want, is it because you're programmed to want something like that, like a bigger car or a bigger house or whatever? So the question is, how do you know for sure that what you want is what you want? You see what I mean? Sounds silly if I say it like that, but how do you know for sure that what you want is what you want? And then even if you know if it's from your true self and what you truly want, then you have to realize that it's just a wish that not necessarily has to be accomplished. So what do you need for your own spiritual evolution? So if you want something, let's say you want to be rich, extremely rich, and that you can pay anything you like in life and that there's no worry about money. That could be something simplistic like that, that you want something like that. But does it serve you to be having true spiritual evolution? Sometimes it can have the opposite effect. If you snap in your fingers and it will be done because you have so much money, do you exercise your inner potential, your inner qualities, your inner abilities? Maybe it will numb you. It will, because it's so easy to get things done through money systems, that actually it's kind of a energy that is outside yourself that will take care for you. You see what I mean? So you're depending on a system that we call money system that will take care for you, because you give that the power to that money system. You can also say there are other ways to accomplish something. For instance, if you express from the heart who you truly are, you resonate with certain people and people feel connected with you, and they can give you something out of the blue without conditions, and they do it from the heart too. And then and the beauty of this is that it suits your own spiritual evolution. It what you really need at that particular moment could be very well on your path given to someone, because you are in tune with your true self. But if you are programmed to want something because there's a kind of expectation, or that you connect your identity towards that what you are that you receive, you know, let's say you have a bigger car or you have a bigger house, so your identity is connected to that, and that you say, look at me, that's my house, look at me, that's my bigger car. If you truly think about it, a lot of people identify a person with what they possess. But is that your true self? If you think about that concept, what is that true self, by the way? I have to explain that, of course. But I think it's a genuine question. Who are you? Are you the things that you possess? Are you the work that you do on your work? Is that you? Or are you the family that you have, or the friends that you are? If the friends is a kind of a mirror for you of a state of mind at that particular moment? And is it stationary? Is it fixed? Of course not. You can lose friends, you can get new friends, so you evolve. So when I talk about spiritual evolution and about that we need or that we want something, the question is always be what serves your own spiritual evolution. And the question is, do you really think that if you have a lot of money, that it really truly serves your true self? And again, I raise the question, what is the true self? Is the true self separate from all expectations of social conditions around you? I think so. The true self is separate from all expectations and conditions around you. Love is. It is not conditional. So if you are in tune with that concept, that love is and it's never conditional, and you're aware of that energy, it's all around us, it's all there, it's there for the taking, if you want to be in touch with that. And if you, there are two ways of, if I make it simplistic, of course, it's much more complex, but if I make it more simplistic, there are two ways of seeing things. You can use your rational brain and make decisions based upon safety and security, and that you want to be sure and 100% sure, and that you are in tune with how to play it safe and how to use your creative potential to be kind of that you calculate what the odds are and what the possibilities are, that you are actually left brain mentality. If you want to talk about oneness and wholeness, you know, that your left and right brain is working together, is synchronizing with each other. It's not necessarily that the other one is dominant, but just in harmony with one another. Then you talk about that you are actually using your full potential, and that your choice is not based upon on fear-based thinking, but actually on tuning in your unlimited potential that is available everywhere. And it's up to you if you want to live from the heart, and it will work for you. Some people just say that there's not such a thing as being not self, that you don't have self-interest. There was a person in Paltok who claims that there's not such a thing as that there's no self-interest. There's always self-interest. That is what he claims. And I explained to him, if you only act from self-interest, and that you think that's the only truth there is, and it's the only, and all other behaviors are camouflaging your self-interest behavior. Let's say you want to do something good for someone else, but there's always a condition or expectation or something that you want to see in return, even if it's only a smile that you expect, or that can also be a gift, that you give a smile, that you give a smile, and it will, that is also kind of a gift from a person. So how far is being of service to others, how far is it true, unconditional, or is it self-interest? And I believe there is an energy all around us and in us that is unconditional, that has no expectation, that wants to share. And if you choose that path of wanting to share what you know and share what you experience and share to empower the people, to try to make people free, then you are having unlimited potential given to you, because you are a symbol of that what you do and what you act on, not only what you talk about, but actually what you do. And then that what you get what you give. And then you say, yeah, but there it is, catch 22. You get what you give. Therefore, there is an expectation. Therefore, it's a self-interest. Therefore, it must be considered egotistical. Even if it sounds genuine and nice that you want to be of service to others, but deep below it, there must be something like, I expect something in return for the long run. That could be a reason. I don't think so. There are genuine people who truly do not expect something in return. They just do it. And why? Because it works. If you live from the heart, you get energy. And if you live from your rational brain only, it will cost you energy. And that's the simple philosophy. That's the reason you have to pay those people who are living from fear-based thinking, rational brain, left brain behavior that they want to play it safe all the time and calculate the odds and what is possible and impossible. And all of that has nothing to do with getting in tune of your true potential. It has to do with want to be sure of things. But you know, what I found out is that even if you are not sure about things, the art of letting go of expectation is so beautiful, because I made a statement a couple of weeks ago. I repeated it many times, and the statement goes like this. If I am going to fight injustice on this planet, there's of course a problem that if you don't enjoy life as well, there's a problem, of course, that you will drain your own energy, your own spirit, if you only want to fight injustice. You have to have a balance and find also that you can enjoy life as well, and that you can, like a battery, that has to be recharged. Now, and I make a quote that even if I lose the battle against injustice, I still win. And for some people, it's strange. But how can you say that you still win even if you lose the battle against injustice? Now, I mentioned this in the earlier talk shows and radio shows, but I didn't go deeper into that process of explaining. The moment, if you believe that you have a spirit that will survive after death, that will leave your body and you continue and you have your reincarnations, and as for a lot of people know that I have had a near-death experience, and because of it, I had an out-of-the-body experience, and because of that, being so young and described things that cannot be explained, only then that I was being out of my body, what you see in the movie Ghost, that triggered me that I know there's something else than in the physical alone. So if we have a soul that continues after this life, then the question is, what kind of echo or resonance or frequencies are you radiating the moment that you die, even if you have not accomplished your mission, even if you're not accomplished to fight injustice and that you are the winner, considered the winner? Yeah, you won the battle, and the good guys have won. You see what I mean? And still, I feel I won, even if I lose the battle against the New World Order agenda. The reason for it is that I have chosen the path of no fear whatsoever. And I've chosen the path of allowing myself to be myself in my fullest that I can be. And even if I don't win, I still win. Because it will echo, it will resonate if I go to continue who I am. You know, I think that if you leave your body, your convictions is your trap at the same time. I was in an out-of-the-body experience. I had a chamber with full of insects, and I felt it was like a test. I have to walk through this chamber, and then I knew that if I think that I have to walk through this chamber, I'm in total panic because I see insects and I don't know what they are. I have no problems with insects. And, you know, if I see a spider, I can just walk on my hand. I have no problems. If I see a wasp or a bee, I can take it in my hands. I have no problems with spiders or insects. Only insects that I don't know what it is. Then I have some problems. So I was in this, symbolically speaking, I've been tested in this out-of-the-body experience, sitting in a room full of insects. Okay, I'm back again. We had some technical problems. They could not hear me, but I was hearing them through the phone. So they're asking me, "Hey, John, are you there?" But I say, "Yes, I'm here." But they don't hear my voice, so we are disconnected and reconnected again. I was talking about this having an out-of-the-body experience, seeing all those spiders. And I was talking about why sometimes convictions or how you believe or perceive reality that can also stand in the way of yourself. So I was walking in this thinking I have to walk through it, and I've been tested, but I don't want to. I don't want to walk through it because I don't like insects, you know, that I don't know what they are. So what happened is I visualized that I'm at the exit of the room instead of thinking that I have to walk through it. And most people would say, "Oh my God, I have to walk through this. I don't want to." And the moment that you doubt yourself, it already manifests it for you. Do you understand that? So if you doubt yourself, of who you are and what you can do and your abilities, you are actually standing in the way of yourself. If you say, okay, I understand this. This is kind of a test. I'm now visualizing myself being at the exit, and that's it. It happens in an instant. So, and that's important to realize that if you have an out-of-the-body experience, your convictions or your layers of fear-based thinking can also stand in your own evolution, spiritual evolution, stand in the way. So you have to know your fears. You have to know your limitations. Why is it that you think that you have to walk through it if it's not necessary? You see what I mean? So the first thing that you have to learn, if you have an out-of-the-body experience, is that you know who you are and what you are able, what you can do if you're having that experience. Now, that is same with the life itself, the same problems. So we have certain expectations of ourselves, and we limit ourselves for what is possible and not what is not possible. And because of this behavior, we actually are not open for signals that things could be different than you think it is. And especially when you're disappointed in certain patterns that happen to your life, it shouts for recognition that you are being hurt on whatever topic that you can imagine yourself, and that first need recognition before you can move on. So what happened most of the time is that you're not confronted, or you're not going to handle what is happening in front of you, because you're more with your own self-disappointments of, oh, it will not work because, or it will not happen to me because, and all those, I call it self-hypnosis almost, you are not able to see the signals that it could be different. You see what I mean? So the point is, if your own convictions are standing in your way of your own spiritual evolution, you have to realize, how can I stop being a victim of that, being a victim of programmed thinking, or being a victim of your own convictions and your belief systems? Now, the first step is that you say to yourself, I have an antenna open that things could be different than I think it is. Now, that statement in itself is extremely powerful, because that's a statement that you allow yourself that things could be different. Now, it sounds too simple, because you would say, oh, I am always open-minded, but you're not able to maybe see your blind spots of your own frustrations or your own limitations of certain belief systems of pain and suffering in the past, or disappointments in people. So it's obvious that we see patterns that resonates with what happened in the past, even previous lives, by the way. If you have lived before, and I believe we do, actually I know that we did, it's not about belief, then it can resonate with certain things that are still standing in the way of true evolution of ourselves. So we have to examine our blind spots from why is it that we are convinced that certain things will not happen, or it's not... you know, it will only happen to them, not with me. I'm a victim. So victim mentality creates victim reality. And now we talk about the future. If we want to have a different future in 2012, is it important to brainstorm now what we wish to happen unfolding in coming years? It doesn't mean that everything what you say is going to happen, but it starts with allowing to give space, and really space, that you can wish, and that you can express that wish to your people around you. And then you have to examine how much what you wish or what you want is truly integrated of your true self, of your own spiritual evolution. And I think if it resonates with what you truly are, it will manifest faster. So it starts with allowing yourself to wish something. You know, if people want to protect themselves, not to be disappointed, having too high goals, they call it. Oh, it's much too high goals, or it's too far-fetched, or it's impossible. You know, all that mantra that you hear from brilliant pessimists, they can confuse you, because they want you to be passive and not active. And they don't like to be active, so they're looking for arguments to stay passive. So let's say that you allow yourself to express your true wishes. Even if it will not unfold immediately, you triggered something. You actually send a signal into this reality, in this cosmos or whatever, that maybe will be picked up by any kind of energy that is truly unconditional, sent unconditional love to you. Now, if you are convinced that you are not able, the unconditional love that surrounds you will allow you to experience that. That's a hard one to swallow. So even if you're convinced that you're not able to do certain things, even if you want to, but you're not able, and you're convinced, I cannot do that, the unconditional love that is surrounding you will allow you to experience that limitation that you projected on yourself. That's a hard one, because people don't understand that. Because if this love that is all around us, this energy that is so powerful, will say, hey, you are limit yourself. You have to get free. You have to free yourself. At that moment, it's pushing you in a direction. And at that moment, we're not talking about unconditional. You see what I mean? So true unconditional love will allow you that you can actually live limited and think limited and think in fixed thinking and that you... That you convinced that you need to suffer, for instance, before you can accomplish something. So if you are convinced that you need to suffer before you accomplish something, then the unconditional love that surrounds you, the powerful unconditional power, will say to you, if that is what you want, then we will deliver it for you, that you can experience that energy and that you learn from it. That you need to suffer before you can accomplish something. There are many people doing the same thing what you do, accomplish the same thing without suffering. So the question mark is, how is that possible? How is it possible that I need to suffer and the other people doesn't need to suffer and accomplish even better than me? I don't understand. The beauty thing is it's you that is standing in the way of your own evolution. Again, it's all about being trapped in convictions, belief systems, of many layers of yourself. So if you allow yourself to say, okay, I'm aware that I'm trapped. I'm aware that I'm trapped in my own thought cage or my self-limitation. I'm aware of that. Then how can I break through my thought cage? How can I open up? How can I truly explore what is out there, not what I think is out there? You see the difference, eh? To explore what's truly out there instead of what you think there is. It starts with allowing yourself that there is no security. There is no... safe thinking that you can actually play it safe. That you, there's always a risk all the time, and that is a part of being you to explore risks, to explore things that you're not expecting. And the quality of any kind of personality or character of a person can be best measured with his ability how he deals with disappointments. Look around you, of your family, your friends, your colleagues, and say to yourself, if you want to, you don't have to, but you can do it, how can I interpret the quality of a character or a personality at best? That is the way they, how they deal with their own disappointments and how they deal with things that are not happening as they want. And then you can see the quality of a personality or a character, not with the successes. So if you think you have to want to know about a character or a personality, people think, oh, you just have to look for the successful people. Then I figured out they must be having a wonderful character. They have to have a wonderful personality because they are so successful. The beauty thing is that it's all subjective. What you consider successful is also conditioned by society, what they can tell you what is called considered successful or considered that you accomplish something. Maybe there's another energy that has nothing to do with material wealth, has nothing to do with how much you possess or how much you can have power over someone else. It has more to do, are you able to reach it within and put it to use? And practice that ability instead of depending on the money system or depending on any system outside yourself. So if you are able to go within and put it to use, and you are going to be better and better, that should be a signal of a personality or a character and not because that someone has much, a lot of wealth, a lot of money, or have a bigger car or a bigger house. It has nothing to do with the personality. It maybe it creates the opposite. It makes people hollow, makes people feel empty. So, talking about the future again, wishes, an expression of wishes, and people want to try to limit themselves to allow yourself to express wishes, express what you want to experience, because you are afraid, if you do, that you maybe get disappointed, and therefore you don't wish anymore, and therefore you don't send a signal to the cosmos or to the energy around you. You see what I mean? You are again standing in the way of yourself. And again, let's say a beautiful example. A child has never, ever used a bicycle in his whole life. For the first time, wants to use a bicycle. And the daddy is trying to teach his son how to use the bicycle. Now, a pessimistic guy would say, don't do it. Look at what will happen to other people who did the same. They will fall down and they hurt their knees and they have some wounds or whatever. It's dangerous. Don't do it. And look at the evidence that I have. And people come showing with statistics that if you use the bike, you can actually fall. You can use all the arguments. How do you say this? And you can make a case. You can make a point that it's not good to use the bike because you can fall down. And still, you do it. Why? Why? If you are a child, you still take the risk to ride because you have a parent behind you that says, try again. So you are having kind of a mental coach. You have a kind of a supporter who supports you that you are allowed to make mistakes. Because if you fall down, do you really think that you're being punished by your father? Now, some sick people do, but it's another story. You have sick people. But most genuine fathers would say, that's part of growing up. It's part of learning how to, you know, use the bike. You see what I mean? And that's the same with everything. So if you want to protect yourself of disappointments, then you have to say, okay, then this child may never use the bike again because you want to protect him from disappointments. So you see what I mean? So actually any kind of self-censorship because of not wanting to express your true wishes and what you truly want. Now, that concept is of course subjective, because how much of it is truly from yourself, and how much of it is it conditioned by the society. But that aside, continue focusing on, do you allow yourself to express what you truly want in life? And even if you think it's not possible, think about it. There is a universal, unconditional love that will always serve you, including if you say, oh, I probably will not succeed. Your wish is my command. If you think that that is what is necessary for you to experience, we will arrange for you that, because that's unconditional love. So you have to be aware of your own self-limitation all the time, every second of the day. You know, if you see a person and you think, oh, that must be a difficult person, then almost you are co-creator of that experience. So how can you be completely unconditional and completely in the now without projections of yourself and just observe, registrate, remember without labels? That's so important that people know the difference between that you think that you know what it is or that you just have a completely question mark, like a sense of wonder. I love that word. Have a wonderful, healthy sense of wonder. Like a child seeing a butterfly for the first time in nature. You have also, as a child, a sense of wonder from, wow, that's beautiful. Now, that type of energy is so powerful, it can only be experienced if you have no conditions in that you project your own blah, blah, you know what you mean. And the older you get, the more luggage you carry with you how to interpret things. You see what I mean? So the more that you are going older and older, the more that you are seeing what you think you see. You see what I mean? Not what really is there. So, and it's the same with entities. It's the same with extraterrestrials. It's the same with everybody. Anytime when there is a neutral, this is important that you realize this, a neutral interdimensional coming fly by or having contact with you past your own path. It wants to, doesn't want anything. It just sees you, and you see it, but you don't know what it is. And you see this interdimensional being. You probably have your own ideas what it could be. And this is important. If you have a certain idea what it could be, you actually use your own creative energy, your own creative potential, or your creative shaping power energy. You project it on that what you don't know what it is, and then that entity, the creature, whatever you want to call it, this interdimensional, will sense that you are doing that to it. It will feel what you are doing to it. It will feel that you are projecting what you think it is. And most interdimensionals think that you are doing that because you have a desire that it should be like that. For instance, when somebody has a near-death experience and is being raised in a Christian family, most people who are having near-death experience talk about angels because that's what they taught how to interpret things. You see what I mean? And I don't know if people have ever seen Babylon 5, but there were reports of an angel, angelic being coming down, the Vorlons, they call it, in Babylon 5. And you see all different alien races, they have their own stories of angels. And they have their own names and their own labels, how this angel looked like, that is, want to save people. And that is so beautiful that you have this beautiful angel-like angelic being coming down to intervene and to help and to assist and to be of service. And it's being seen by many alien races in this Babylon 5 science fiction movie. And you see through the eyes of a person that interprets what he sees. And when a human look at it, it sees a beautiful angel with wings. You see what I mean? Then another person sees another beautiful creature, but that is not with wings, but different. But it's still the same being. So the essence of a being can be reflected to your own expectations of it. You see what I mean? But it's still doing good things. It still is being of service, wanting to help, wanting. You see what I mean? It doesn't matter what all those interpretations of all the people and beings are thinking what they see. Oh, it must be an angel. And others say, oh, it must be, think of a strange name of an alien race, have their own angel, angelic beings as well. And it turns out to be that that the angels are actually, if you're going to dig deep into this subject, turns out to be the ancient ones. And they have this is important. Ancient ones. What is that? What are ancient ones? Now, ancient ones are beings that are beyond duality thinking. Now, that I have expressed that so many times, what that means, to go in your own evolution, you come to a point that you have a different kind of perspective of reality, and you overview your life from a different angle. And that energy is unconditional, and that is an energy of completely zero. And zero means everything. That's interesting. So you have complete nothingness, and nothingness is everything. Now, there are now discussions that there is a kind of energy that doesn't have a positive, it doesn't have a negative, it just it's completely fused. And instantaneously, you can be everywhere. The only thing that moves is intent. And then you have to ask yourself, what is the power of intent? Now, that's been measured by, for instance, Hadonet. You have this Professor Emoto, who says that if your intent can be, if your intent is that you want to say that you want to hate someone, it will have an impact on water, and therefore you can freeze the water and look at the crystals, how it's been formed. If your intent is that you want to love something and that you nourish something, that you actually feel very appreciative of that, what you are sending towards it, it will actually have beautiful crystals. So what is the power behind all of it? That is, of course, is intent. Now, if your intent is to share and to love and to be kind to everybody and to reach out to the person behind the mask, and you understand that people are trapped in their own thought cage or prison, mind prison, and you want to reach out not with the surface what you see, with the, you know, how they look like and what they say and what they, you know, how they come across, but that you want to reach out at the person behind the mask. Now, that mechanism, if you truly want that, will be resonating with what you say and how you say it to that person. And it will come through the barrier of judgment, of expectation. You can actually reach out and connect with someone. But most people are afraid of that, connecting with someone else. Truly connect. I mean, you can connect by protocols and that we have some certain expectation how we have to talk and how to be socializing and so forth. But you can also sincerely want to reach out and ask a simple question. Why do you do that? And the moment that you ask that and you really mean it, you can actually break through the barrier. But if you don't mean it, and you do it just for the fun of it, and you're thinking this technical to ask questions in a certain way so that the person is disturbed and look at itself like, oh my God, yeah, what I'm doing. There's a different kind of energy. But if you truly connect with that person behind the mask and ask only why do you do this, and don't have this energy that you know it. You know, if you have this attitude, I know what you're doing, I know why you do this, now let go of that. Let go of that you think that you figure it out. If you are able to do that, to let go of that you think you figure it out, and you just say to the person, tell me, why do you do this? And you mean it, what you say, and you have no attitude that you figure it out, you just have a complete open question mark, you know, we just talked about, like a child. We call it in Dutch onbevangen. I don't know the English word for it. But you're completely free of expectations and conditions, and that you just truly want to know. Now, and if you say it with a certain frequency, you're actually piercing through the walls or through the barriers of the person, because you actually, in this way you speak and how your voice is, how your intonation is piercing through the barriers, because they feel you're actually genuine. Want to know instead of playing nice. You see what I mean? So that's important that people are able to see the difference between being technical or being sincere and interested in the other person. I want to discuss the future of 2012, what I wish. Now, one of my wishes would be that more and more people will have access to who they truly are, and that they can actually radiate that, what they really are, radiate freedom, and have through that radiating freedom, having a better impact on society, than that you want to be strategic or technical or played safe or having certain expectations. But if you truly radiate freedom, who you truly are, you actually have the best power, you can have the best ally you ever can imagine if you do that. You will get assistance if you express your true self. You get help if you do it. You also get help if you convince that you have to be a victim. You will get help in that too. You also get help if you think you will not succeed. They will arrange that for you too, so that you come to the point that you learned your lesson in that conviction. You see what I mean? So we have to be careful in what you ask for or what you wish for. Now, so it would be wonderful if all people would make this own top 10 or top 6 or top 3 wishes, what you want to experience in the coming years towards 2012, and be very careful what you wish for. And if you read it, you write it down and you send it to my email, you can send it to John, J-O-H-N, @, and then untoldmysteries.eu, untoldmysteries.eu. Mysteries is, of course, plural, more than one, mysteries.eu, John@untoldmysteries.eu. Share me what your wishes are, and we have to make a wish that is the best. What triggers your potential? What triggers? It's like a signal to the cosmos. I wish that this would happen to my life and to my family and to my colleagues and to. And if you do that, and we do, more and more people are allowed to do that, and they allow themselves to do that, it will create a shockwave of energy. Because if you don't, you're actually fulfilling your own prophecy or your own limited view of reality. You see what I mean? If you think, okay, I will use self-censorship because I want to protect myself, not to be disappointed anymore, therefore I don't wish anymore, you have to think again. Because this child that never have ridden a bicycle can fall. That's possible. Yes, indeed. But is that a reason not to use the bicycle because of it? Of course not. You still have a father or a mother that says that's part of the journey, part of the experience, being human. So how many people around you are having this energy of despair or an energy of, oh, poor me? They're almost addicted to that energy. And the more they experience more poor me energy, they even get more frustrated and more into that identity, and they almost love it. It sounds ridiculous, but certain people are addicted to dramas because it's almost a part of their identity. They can almost not imagine themselves not having dramas. So if you have no dramas anymore, then there's kind of so-called security of emptiness, of who am I? You see what I mean? Then they have to go deeper in themselves, and that is scary for some people. Very scary, you know, if you don't have dramas to share to the world. Oh, I'm poor, me this, I have this, and I have that. I think there are so many people who have come very deep in despair, like me. I've also had similar problems. And there comes a point that you have to say, I'm fed up with this. Now I'm going to focus on what I want, what I truly want, not what people expect from me. It has nothing to do with being egotistical, by the way. It has to do with exploring your true self and put it to use and exercise your true potential by allowing it to come out instead of self-censorship. So again, what is the true power of change in this world is that you are honest to yourself, truthful to yourself. That's the first start, and radiate freedom. And people will pick it up. And people will see it, that you enjoy, that you radiate freedom. Of course, you have some disappointments on the way, but that's the same with the bicycle. So I believe sincerely that people can make a choice. You're easily to be conditioned of what to expect and what is possible and impossible. But you can also make that step to say, I allow myself to wish again, like a child. And even if you know that you maybe can get disappointed of something, that's a part of being human. You know, again, the quality of a character, the quality of any personality can be best measured if you see how he or she deals with disappointments. So look around you. Again, the character or quality of a character or personality is not to be measured in how much money he gets or how much success he has, because that will be like a camouflage of the true person. It's like a shield or a, you know, it has nothing to do with your inner qualities of a person. Inner qualities can radiate if it first allow itself to be. But I see so many people being trapped in, oh my God. And then there is an unconditional love that surrounds us that says, okay, if you think you're not up to it, we will unconditionally support that idea, because that's what you radiate. Then we will be of service to you unconditionally. So this unconditional love that is available will serve you whatever you choose. So it is very powerful to realize this. Be aware of what you wish for and allow yourself to wish again. And send your wishes, what you want to experience towards 2012, There's now and 2012. What do you wish? And the more people do that and show to the world, this is me, and this is what I like to experience. And this is what I hope for my family and for my friends and for whoever, even your so-called enemies. Wish them the most beautiful what you can imagine. And you will see that if you send that signal to the cosmos or to this frequencies of reality that we perceive as reality, it will resonate. It will create a shockwave of energy. Because we are trapped not to do it anymore. You see, most people are trapped. They say, oh, no, I don't want to wish anymore. Oh, I'm so many times, I'm disappointed. And what was the quality of a character? And what was the quality of a personality? It's how you deal with disappointments. Look at the child with the bicycle. And we need, actually, sometimes a push, you know, from, come on, stand up again, bicycle again. I know you're hurt. Of course, you have to heal yourself first, your wounds, and then you continue to bicycle again, even if you know that there is a risk again. And it's the same attitude you have to have with everything, actually. But then people are so hurt so many times that they have no energy left to feel change anymore. They actually want to reaffirm their inability, their victim mentality. They actually want to reaffirm that all the time. Why? Because there is a shouting of recognition of pain. There's something inside of you that is shouting for recognition. I need to be heard. My pain needs to be heard. And that's normal. That's healthy. It's healthy that there's something deep pain in your life that wants to be heard. And if you don't allow it to be that part of you, it will come out through different ways. I call it the sabotage thoughts. I call it that. Sabotage thoughts are energies that will neutralize any positive initiative that you take. What is that? Sabotage thoughts. What are they? Now, let's say you have a brilliant idea, and you think, "Wow, that would be cool if I going to experience this or that." At that moment, you are in contact with your potential, your energies, your creative energy. And then the sabotage thoughts comes along. Yeah, but you know what happened then. You see what I mean? So the sabotage thoughts are actually the ones who are shouting for recognition of certain pains, and there are many different deep pains that people have inside them in themselves that have never been expressed, have never been having allowed to be. And how can this pain be transformed if you don't recognize it, if you don't want to confront yourself with it? Now, the way that I did it to confront myself with my deepest pains is to do rebirthing with a coach that I don't call it a therapist, I call it a coach that will breathe in and out, connected, almost like hyperventilating, and every time when you breathe out, you let go. And you get full of energy, full of oxygen in your body. And then parts of your body are going to do strange things with you. It's like that your body is communicating with you, giving signals, here's something you have to get attention to. And then you make a choice, I'm going to breathe towards that part of my body that is sending a signal of a blockage. That could be your stomach, that could be your headache or your head, could be your hands, that your hands are doing strange things if you do circular breathing techniques or rebirthing techniques. So this self-confrontation, going deep in your pain and explore it, you actually fuse your creative potential with that what you don't want to see. But because of breathing, your body is communicating to you and showing there's something there. And then you say to yourself, okay, I'm now so charged with energy and oxygen that parts of my brain are activated, and I want to fuse the pain with the solution, with the unlimited creative potential that is already inside of you. So you have to first recognize the shadow side of yourself, you know, and it can only be to give love of the so-called dark side of yourself and embrace it. And say that is a part of me. And then when it's fused, you can actually transform it And then you can get rid of sabotage thoughts. I think it's a beautiful word, sabotage thoughts. I think sabotage thoughts are is a kind of spiritual devolution instead of evolution. So, yeah. Have you ever considered that, that there's also a spiritual devolution instead of evolution? And why is it that certain people have so strong convictions that they're not able to do this or that? Because they have a deep need for recognition of a part of themselves that is suffering or that has pain. And to unite that pain with who you truly are, you can transform it. But first of all, you have to confront yourself. Now, that's of course up to you if you want to confront yourself and do some research about what rebirthing means. It has nothing to do with that you're being born again. It sounds like that you are reborn, you know, if you say rebirthing, but rebirthing is much more than that. I've done 22 sessions with someone who's coaching me to do rebirthing. And it has given me so much empowerment. I'm not talking about that you have power over someone else. I'm talking about true empowerment, that you go within. There's also a statement of my friend, Rinus, from the Netherlands. He said, the only way out is in. I thought it so funny. The only way out is in. How can we go in? Yeah, one of the things is that you truly want to feel your body and to connect with your body again. You know, there are so many people who are brilliant in their minds and brilliant in wisdoms, but they still have not been able to connect with their body anymore because their mind and their mental capacity or the spiritual wisdoms are so overwhelming outside of the loop that they are not really connecting with the body anymore. They are so in, oh, I know this, and I have this awareness, but they are not able to connect with their body. I see many people doing that, having brilliant insights and knowledge, vast knowledge, and they still are not able to connect with their body because they don't want to confront themselves that they're pain that is shouting for recognition. And I think we need to do that, to go in, instead of showing to the world what you can do this, and I can do that, and I have a bigger car, I have a bigger house, and I have lots of money, I'm successful. That's nothing to do with that you are healed from within. It's all, in my opinion, it's all distraction of your true self. I think the more money you have, the more distracted it will be from your true self. Of course, everything will be easier and everything will be nicer, but it doesn't mean that you have to, that will be the reason that you go in. You see what I mean? So, yes, there is a transformational energy available to us if we only want to have access to it. And self-confrontation is, I think, necessary for all of us. And I'm not talking about only the gifted people or only the psychic people. All of us. All of us needs to go within and have a self-confrontation experience. And then you can transform it and get rid of it and let go of it so that you have not the sabotage thoughts anymore and that you can use your full potential. So that's my view on this, how to transform ourselves. And if you do that, you will attract people doing the same. And that's the beauty of this energy, that you attract people doing the same. And then you will see that your communication with that person is more sincere, is more truthful, is more in harmony with what actually is more to your own spiritual evolution instead of devolution. So when you complain, think about that you have the power to wish and the power to express what you truly want for the coming years. So I will post, with your permission, your wishes on the website, and the more people will radiate freedom and true desires and wishes, this is what I want to experience in the coming years. And again, if you express your wishes, please do something that will be of service to your own spiritual evolution. So don't start talking about, I want to have much money and I want to have a bigger car. That is ridiculous because it has nothing to do with your true self. That is all distractions. So the question mark is, what do you really want? And express it. Don't be afraid of yourself. Don't be afraid to be disappointed. Again, if you're afraid of it, that you're disappointed, you're actually a co-creator of that what you're afraid of. You see what I mean? It's catch 22. Oh, I'm afraid that I'm going to be disappointed. And before you know it, it will unfold for you because it mirrors back. It will show you, okay, we will serve your request. Okay, I wish to thank you all very much for listening to John Cudis from the Netherlands on Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine. I hope you enjoyed it. And my webpage is, by the way, untoldmysteries.com or .eu. And recently we have another website called needtoknow.eu. Need to know is with a 2 in the middle, number 2. So need and then 2know.eu. That's a new website. And we do Dutch-English postings there and new informations that we are sharing. So leave your message, your wishes. I think we need to do that. We have to radiate freedom and send a signal on what we really want towards 2012. Okay, thank you so much. And I give the microphone to Donald Newsom. Okay, all the best. Bye-bye. See you next time. Bye-bye.